David Spence, Professor of Energy Regulation at the University of Texas.
Outstanding. Thank you for joining us today. Talking to Mr. Spence about an article that he wrote yesterday or a few days ago or maybe last week, but I read it yesterday, and it had to do with the Texas oil boom, and specifically he was mentioning more of West Texas. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I found it a very interesting article. How are you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I got some road construction going on right in front of my house, so if there's any booming in the background, that means it's a heck of a boom. But my studio has been shaking a little bit this morning, so it's like being next to, I guess, big projects. But good news, infrastructure is being built. So talk to me a little bit about the thesis of that article that you had written.
Well, it's really about the predictions that are really all over the board about how long the latest fracking boom might last. As you probably know, the history of this industry is one of booms and busts. And because the resource is so big out there in West Texas, there are a lot of people who are making predictions that this boom might last longer than other booms. And you know, the thesis of this article is that really it's impossible to predict. So there's so many variables at work here that we really don't know how long it's going to last. It could last a long time. It might not. There's just too many variables at work, and if any of us knew how long these booms would last, we'd be very, very wealthy.
Well, and there's so many different factors that come into play, whether it's water or price of oil or price of steel, jobs, different things. I mean, it's very difficult. One of the things that came out of the Bakken conference, the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, I was up there 2 weeks ago. A lot of the leaders there, they're trying to streamline the industry in terms of turning it more into less of a boom bust and more of a regular industry. Now, I don't know, I guess, what that looks like at the end of the day, but I understand the logic. You know, we know the oil is there, the science is there, technology is getting greater, the jobs seem to be becoming a little bit more white collar and automated than the old days, so finding the old workforce has changed. I get where the logic comes from, that so many aspects of the industry's changed, but there's still the oil prices and so much unpredictability there. Are you following me at all to where I guess I can see where they're coming from to make it more of an industry, but there's still that just inherent unpredictability of the nature?
Right, and all the factors you listed are really sort of production side factors, and it's absolutely true that the industry has gotten more efficient, leaner, which is going to enable people to take advantage of more of the opportunities presented by changes in price. But the demand side or the consumption side of a ledger is beyond their control. And so as world oil prices move, they're going to essentially take certain plays out of the market or add them into the market, depending upon the world price for crude. And so that's just something we can't control here in Texas. And so that's what I meant when I said it's difficult to predict. But you're absolutely right. I think the stuff that we can't control, we've gotten a lot better at.
Do you see them trying to go more towards the call it the 9-to-5 work week as opposed to the 2 week hitch, 2 week off type of a thing? Obviously, they're not going to try to, correct all of them, but I do hear the conversations of them trying to be a more normal work environment. Are you seeing that at all from your side?
Yeah, I can't speak to that, as a matter of sort of reporting, I can't really speak to that. You probably have a better sense than I do. What I will say is that, when a place like, the major formations in West Texas, which are relatively cheap to produce from compared to a lot of other shale formations in the country, when the price goes up, there's going to be a rush to develop resources, and that's why we're seeing in places like Midland, tremendous labor shortages, just like we've seen in booms in the past. There's a bit of a sort of common aspect to this that's always been part of the game, and it's probably always going to be part of the game. We'd like to rationalize it and make it a little bit more like other industries, but The fact is, it's a competitive industry, and the good times can go away pretty quickly. And so when the good times are here, there's going to be a rush to produce.
And that rush to produce a lot of times produces a herd mentality. And with your background in policy and that sort of thing, I would imagine between energy and policy, there's quite a bit of herd mentality that appears in both of those. Are you seeing that happening right now, kind of a herd mentality? And, well, probably down in the Permian, for sure you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's... You never know when you're getting sort of honest information and when people are, you know, trying to influence public opinion. But generally, there has been sort of a rush in one direction, and optimism tends to beget more optimism. Pessimism begets more pessimism. So that's always been the case. I don't think that's terribly new. It's always been sort of a feature of the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're just kind of wrapping up a little bit. What's, from your perspective and what you do at the University of Austin down there, University of Texas Austin, what are you seeing over the next 12 months in the energy industry? I mean, there's a lot of talk about hiring, and there's a lot of great oil prices, but there's also bottlenecks and everything else going on. From your day-to-day and your perspective, what are you seeing the energy industry is going to do?
Well, there are a couple of other issues that were raised in the piece that I wrote for The Hill that, you know, I think are interesting from my point of view. One has to do with what the kinds of impacts that come with a boom like this. One thing I will say is I think we're getting better. I think towns are getting better and companies are getting better at working with one another to try and address the sort of boom and bust impacts that come along with this industry. There's a lot of corporate social responsibility kinds of activities going on out in the shale patch that I think are the product of that back and forth between the towns and the companies. And I think that's an interesting aspect of this. The other aspect, of course, that's been widely reported is the bottleneck of transportation infrastructure to get product out of West Texas into the market. That's going to, you know, impinge upon the ability of producers to capitalize on high oil prices coming out of West Texas. And so how fast that bottleneck can be remedied will be an interesting aspect of this.
One of the things I talked to Joe Dancy from University of Oklahoma yesterday, Oklahoma Law, he runs their energy center, the executive director there. He was down at the Heart Energy Conference down at the Horseshoe Pavilion down there in Midland, Texas. And one of the things about the bottleneck that came out of that conference, whether they're doing it not right now or not, I don't know, or they're just having the conversations, but it sounds like they're moving ahead hiring truckers. So there's so much bottlenecking on the rail and in the pipeline that apparently there's enough profit to put them into a semi and bring it down to the Gulf. Just little things like that really are wild cards in the whole shale play economy, I see. And have you heard of that yet, that they're looking at trucking it down there?
No, it doesn't surprise me. Obviously, rail shipments increased drastically when pipeline bottlenecks arose. And so I suppose this is the next step in that same logic. I will say that, you know, finding truck drivers has been difficult out there, and so I assume that means the price must be high if people are willing to ship it by truck, and given the sort of constraints of truck size and also the salaries we have to pay truck drivers in the height of these boom events.
How often do you write these pieces, and how can people, I guess, follow your work or your voice, that sort of thing? I appreciate you coming on the program today to talk a little bit about that. Is there anything else that we needed to talk about? Anything you wanted to reiterate? Anything we left out, I guess?
No, you asked how people could follow me. I have a Twitter account that's focused on energy, at Spence Energy UT. I do periodically write these opinion pieces, but they appear in different places at different times. So typically I'll tweet them on my Twitter account if people want to read about that.
Okay.